You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He is good.
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Challenge to change, where transformation begins with you. Change appears to be one of the biggest hindrances to growth from relationships that I have encountered while in ministry. Our focus is usually on someone else and what they have done or are doing to us, instead of us being accountable to God and making sure we're not a stumbling block to ourselves or others. Challenge to Change is about us taking personal responsibility for our Christian walk as we face challenges and issues and how to overcome them through biblical tools and techniques that we will discuss on this show. Everything about this show is encompassed in us depending on the Holy Spirit to edify, enrich, and transform lives by introducing individuals to a personal encounter with God's unconditional love. That is where real transformation begins and ends.
So, anybody remember where we stopped off? Y'all take a look at your notebooks and iPhones, iPads, Androids. We've been talking about blind spots, though. I know that for sure. And this is what stood out to me. You can find the answers if you care to, or more accurately, if you dare to. We were talking about the five blind spots blocking God's work in us. So God can be blocked? He can? Okay. Imagine that. But is it to His loss or our loss? Why y'all say that? Go ahead, Faith.
Answering your question, okay. We last stopped at laughter is a form of pain, and you were teaching us about secondary pain.
Okay, about secondary pain. Thank you. Anybody? Y'all know what slide we was on? All right, so we're talking about these, the five. I think we covered at least one. Did we get to arrogance?
No, we were on the first one.
We was on the first, huh?
No? Okay.
So y'all take a look at this and write them down. I know a few people said they didn't get them. Willful arrogance, blinded by disobedience. So let me know whether you got them so I move on. Can you put me on pause? One, you guys said? We talked about one? All right, well, I'm good. Did anybody do anything with theirs? Resentment that led to bitterness? Did anybody give theirs away? Did anybody do anything with it? Or we chose to hold on to it? All right, Megan?
I'm going to take this resentment as anger.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I saw this dog company that we had invited to our house to, like, help us train our dog
okay.
and be a dog sitter. And they said yes. And then each time we called them back,
okay.
they'd be like, no, we can't do that. Okay. And I didn't even realize I was angry with them.
Okay. All right.
And then I saw them driving this week. And I was like, you know what? I'm mad. I need to put them in their forgiveness prayer.
Okay. Okay. Awesome.
So I let it go.
Okay. Awesome. Didn't know. Who else realized they were mad and didn't know it? Yes, ma'am. You care to share or are you good? Okay.
I didn't know I was mad, but I was really, really mad and had caught a resentment and really felt justified in it.
Okay.
And when I was here last Wednesday, you were like, God gonna do something Sunday or next Wednesday. So I was expecting that, I don't know, the house was going to fall down. And I sat down halfway through the service like, Lord, what are you doing? Like, I'm expecting more. And he said, with the attitude you walked in here with, he said, if I wanted to give it to you, you couldn't receive it. So I had to forgive. I had to let some stuff go and get my heart right.
Okay. Appreciate your honesty. Anybody else came in with an attitude? Cause y'all know we can get them though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't say anything, Jasmine. All right, so we did these. How about forgiving yourself? Anybody enter into that? About forgiving yourself, you did? How did it go?
I think it went well.
Okay.
I had to forgive myself for a lot of things.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I guess that all tied into my blind spots.
Okay. All right.
So forgiving myself and being able to accept that was a little hard, but you know, I'm still in that process.
Okay. All right. Appreciate your honor. I want to tell y'all how important witnessing is. God didn't call the pastor to bring people to the church. God called the congregation to bring people to church. You know I'm getting ready to talk about you. She know I'm getting ready to talk about. So I've been inviting Crystal to church for the last 2 years. I'm coming. Crystal, no show. She meet Crystal. What do you say to Crystal? What do you share with Crystal? How you get her to come to church? What you share?
I shared with her that it was a counseling ministry.
Okay.
And that we were able to ask questions right on the spot, either the congregation or you would answer. And I said, it's a really good ministry. You should come. And so she said, really? Yeah, I need to get back into going to church. I said, well, this is a good start. And once she came, and I came back from my volunteering the following Monday, she started asking me about the questions. She asked me what was the Holy Spirit. And so I explained to her what I thought the Holy Spirit was. And this is, well, she said, Faith, what's the Holy Ghost? And I said, why, what have you heard?
Uh-oh, there you go.
And so she said, well, I always thought when you get the Holy Ghost, you got to do like this. And so I said, well, unbeknownst to me, I did too.
Okay.
And so I explained to her that I said, well, Pastor Paul says the Holy Spirit, not a ghost,
okay. There you go.
is a control thing. Mm-hmm. And when it comes over you, it helps you to speak in tongues.
Okay.
And so she said, well, what about the thumping? And I said, not a part of it. I said sometimes the Holy Ghost will give you energy where you will see people run around a church. And I said I have experienced it one time where I felt that my feet were on fire. Okay. And I did. I was stomping.
Okay, okay.
I said, but as I was stomping, it went all the way up. It surged up. The heat surged all the way to my body.
Okay.
Then so she was like, well, what's talking in tongues? So I said, it's a holy language. I said, like, when times when I'm depressed or sad and I don't, or I wake up and I don't know what's going on with me,
okay.
I said, I pray in this holy language and only God knows what I'm saying. I said, unless you have the gift of interpretation, will somebody know what you're saying? I said, but that's far and few that I've experienced it. And so she was like, so you just, it's like a babbling. I said, well, I always thought that I had to sound like other people.
Ooh.
I said, but yeah, when I started, I felt like I was babbling. I said, I actually thought I was speaking African because that's what it sounds like because okay. I use a lot of B's when okay. I'm, but you know. So I tried to explain it to her. So I was like, blah, blah, you know, so. I didn't want to play with it because okay. at the time. So I was like, but I said, sometimes you just ask the Holy Spirit for utterance and you just start speaking whatever comes out your mouth.
Okay.
And you may not understand it, but God knows what you're praying. And I said, a lot of times when I was depressed, I would do that and I would feel better.
Okay.
And so she has a lot of questions.
Yes.
So I said, well, just come to church again Sunday.
Okay. Okay.
So she said, well, you know what? Kobe, when I went to pick him up from children's church, before he even got out the door, he said, Mom, I want to come again next Sunday. So I expect to see her here
Amen.
Sunday.
Amen. So I'm minding my business, doing my job. Oh, make sure you give it that white tongues. Okay. And so Crystal is over there coughing. So she said, I'm catching the cold or catching the flu?
I'm catching the cold.
Catching the cold. What do you say?
I said, no, you're not catching a cold. I said, remember what we talked about the other day. You're getting over a cold.
Because we talked about her.
What you put out in the atmosphere.
Okay, okay.
And so she was like, you're right, Faith. I'm getting over a cold.
Yes, sir. I heard my girl cough, and she said it. And then all of a sudden, I heard Faith say, no, you're getting over a cold. So then she thought about it. Next time she coughed, I'm getting over a cold. So, guys, y'all got the influence, I'm telling you. I mean, I tried for at least 2 years. I mean, she would come to the events, you know, with the children, things like that. But Faith, I mean, on the way out today, I'm leaving. And she says, I see you at church. I say, okay. Yes, sir? So I'm just telling you, y'all sitting in the seats, y'all are responsible for growing the church. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, what are you going to do? Who are you going to talk to? I'm talking to you, Ron. Who you want to talk to? Rosa said she wanted another neighbor. Rosa said she got to let her neighbor go. Last night showed us the sense of urgency. Man just finished ministering at his church on the way home. Sense of urgency. I'm telling you guys, it's real. I've been pretty much crying for 3 weeks now. I mean, real, what'd you call it? Weepy. Yeah, thank you, Jasmine. Because I've just been thinking about how good God is. I can't get. I'm not trying to get out. I can't get out of that. How good God is. Where we were, you know, where we were last year and where we are this year. You know, when I say finish strong, I mean that thing. There's no reason why we can't finish strong. No reason why we can't be stronger than where we were last year. And when I see how God is doing it, what he's done for Curly and I and the family, it's just incredible. I mean, it's like, just get your little self out the way. Okay? That's I edit the heck out of that. Just get out the way. Because he wants to do what he wants to do. Just get out of the way. We don't have to figure everything out. I didn't know how Crystal was going to come to church. I didn't have to figure it out. Faith came. Glory to God. You got it? You got it right there? Shh. All right, so let's go. Did I read this? Okay. So what I'm going through right now is I'm processing past what I'm sensing in the congregation. You know, because people still dealing with this thing. So I'm processing past that. So if I seem like I'm out of sorts, I'm not. It's just me processing past, and then I'm willing to stop and do whatever he's telling me to do. You follow me? Anybody know what that means? Okay. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Are you tired? Uh-oh. Wore out? Burnt out on religion? And you can write this down. Religion is man's attempt at reaching God. Relationship, or Christianity, is God's reaching man. Religion is man's attempt at reaching God. Christianity is God reaching to man. He said, come to me. Get away with me. You'll rediscover who? Your life. So when we get too busy, we're thinking that we can leave God out and we can have a good life. God's saying, get away with me so you can recover your life. How many of us need to recover our life? Appreciate your honesty. 3, 4, 5? So how did you lose it? If we got to recover, how did we lose it? And you guys don't specifically have to answer, but let's ask congregation. How could we lose our life that he purchased for us? Like I say, if y'all want to share this, up to you guys. Yes, ma'am.
Just overall busyness. You business. Think that busyness is going to get you there, but It really don't.
Okay, busyness, okay?
Inaction.
Inaction, what do you mean?
So not doing anything.
Not doing anything, okay. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Running from God's will.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I know that one, yeah. The thing about running, though, is you got to run all the time. Yeah, that's that, buddy. You be running all the time, sure.
Saying yes to everything.
Saying yes to everything, okay. Anybody else? How did we lose our life? Did we add into more than, yes, ma'am?
Please.
Trying to people please, okay. But he said, come to me. Get away with me. How do you get away with him? Go ahead.
I was just going to say isolating yourself from others.
Okay.
Ooh. Particularly your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Okay. Why do you think people do that?
Usually it's because they're doing something they don't want anybody else to know about.
Okay. Okay.
And they don't have to be checked or held accountable.
Okay. All right.
If they come to church.
Okay. All right. I'll show you how to take a real rest. You know, like out on the cruise ship where you got to pay extra for the internet. You only got 3 stations you want to look at because they made sure they put all the others about what restaurant to eat in, what such and such to eat. Yeah, that's real rest. You follow me? But the question he asked you, are you tired? Walk. Get away with me so you can recover your life. So I don't try to read more into it than what's there, but what I do is I'll just ask God. So Holy Spirit, I'm going to get away with you so that I can recover my life. Would you mind showing me what that looks like? I do that here. Because, you know, we want to know. We want to know exactly what's going on and what plans he got. And all he'll do is he'll show us one piece. And that's enough, right? He said, walk with me and work with me. Who'd you supposed to be partners with? Him. Watch how I do it. Now, Lord, I want to show you how I do it. And you fit in my plans. Have we tried that one? So it's only 2 people, me and Latrice? Okay. How do we show him our plan and tell him, come on, do it our way? Anybody? Yes, ma'am.
You find a young man who's half saved.
Okay. Ooh.
And then you marry him.
Ooh, okay.
And you try to make him into the man that you wanted to have.
Okay.
And they resist.
Okay, all right.
But that's not the one that God picked for you.
Okay.
And you done just ran all out of his plan. Uh-huh. And now you got to deal with the thing that you got.
Okay. Okay. Amen, Sarah. Appreciate your honesty. Amen. I think I can move on. All right. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the, can we read this last line of that? Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. And by grace, you can put God's empowerment. That means that's what God does. God's empowerment. He will empower us to do what he's called us to do. I just don't see where he ever asks us to do something and not empower us to do it. But if we're not going at the speed, I mean, if he's not going at our speed, then we run ahead of him. Is that a good idea, Chris?
What does learn the unforced rhythms of grace? What does that mean?
So, Michelle just gave you an example, okay? Your mom just gave you an example. So now let's turn that into grace, God's empowerment, all right? So the reason why we married him, this half Christian, as she puts it, is how long have we been believing God for a mate? Five years. All right. So we want to do it our way and not God's way. So we want to do the unforced rhythm. So there's no force in grace because God is doing it. So God sends us three highly qualified candidates. That there's no, you didn't go looking for them. They came looking for you. So let me just put it there. Let me just put it out there. The man's supposed to come after you. You're not supposed to come after the man. 2019? We already getting ready to go into 20? The Bible was written over how many years ago? That never changed. That never changed. We are supposed to let the man come. I mean, you are supposed to let the man come after you. Okay? You're going about what kind of life? Your daily life in grace. Now, when you see things, you're supposed to acknowledge the things you see, healthy and unhealthy. Because who else is sending you three other people? But if it's grace, it's peaceful. Person not going to turn around and say, you go to my church, and then I go to your church. My church is in Christ. Your church is in Buddha. Your church is in Allah. I just stepped out of grace. Now I'm into force. Okay? We've heard some people say, well, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, he's a nice guy. He is a Jehovah's Witness. We stepped out of grace. Now we're stepping into force. Because how many of you guys would know that that would be wrong? Okay. Unequally yoked. You have grace manifested in your life. There's a peace about you and that person. But there's force when you're trying to deal with somebody that you know you shouldn't be with. But the way that the eyes work is, what's not good for me, what do I want? Want that, oh Lord.
Pastor, can you explain the difference between forcing things and then supernatural things trying to keep you apart from each other? Because the devil knows that once you join, then you will be a force to be reckoned with. So how do you recognize the difference?
Okay. All right. So the question you're asking is, how do you recognize the difference between when God has placed something together? Well, let me give you a couple. I give you a couple. First of all, you're going to fuss before church. Y'all ever encountered that? Married people, can I talk to y'all? Can I talk to y'all married people? Married people, where you at? Whoop, whoop. Have y'all ever had strange arguments on the way to church? Yeah? Okay. Yeah. So, if it's of Satan, it will always be, when you look back on it, considered stupid. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Okay, so you're going to argue over French fry. The French fry. I mean, come on. You still got your bag. You hadn't even opened it. But you will argue over stupid stuff. When you look back on it and you go to say, I'm sorry, most healed people, emotionally healthy, they will apologize. They will say they're sorry. If it's of Satan, what will happen is the person won't accept your apology. Y'all ever dealt with that? And then you get mad all over again. Because you say what to yourself? I was bold enough to acknowledge my pride, and then you, y'all ever dealt with that? What else? What else you encountered where you found out that it was Satan? I don't talk about Satan much, but I'm going to answer your question. What else? Were you, okay.
When you apologize, they try to turn it back on you.
Okay.
To tell you what you did wrong.
Okay. All right. Y'all write this down while I'm at it, too. Another way you can recognize Satan that you stepped out of grace is if your worth doesn't believe you should receive something, then you find ways to lose it. If your worth does not believe that you deserve something, you will find a way to lose it. So in relationships, if you have a healthy relationship and you're not deserving of it, you will find a way to lose that relationship. You'll start acting out, start doing stuff that's not becoming. That's where affairs are made out of, fornication is made out of. Because if I don't believe I should have this mate or this person in my life, then I got to find a way to lose it. If I'm at the best job I ever had, then I got to find, I don't deserve this money, this blessing. Then I got to find a way to lose it. I'm serious. And I mean, people can find some ways. You ever heard of people begging to get caught? Begging to get caught. You know, you sneak all this time, then all of a sudden you start leaving. I got children in here. You start leaving certain things out. You follow me? You got a statement? You got a statement?
They might ask you to do something you're not comfortable with, like going out to a club. You just want to dance. Get a couple of drinks.
Going out to a club, let's just dance. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Drink and dance. You good?
Only physical, and the attraction is only physical, and there's no substance, even when you try to look for the substance.
Okay, I got you. Appreciate your honesty. Now, when you marry God, once you have attractive people in your life, because you got to wake up to them. Everybody understand that? You got to wake up to them. But just like what Nicole said, you bypass everything. Just sex alone. And when that time of the month come, you don't see them. Y'all understand? That was safe enough, right? Okay. They cause you to move further away from the things of God instead of closer to the things of God. You'll start to toss around in the bed on Sunday morning and say, well, you know, you used to come to church. Then all of a sudden, you miss one Sunday a month. Then next thing you know, it's two Sundays. They make offerings about, hey, look, such and such got breakfast at such and such place, and they only do it on Sunday. You follow me? Now, you check the schedule. You know the place opened up at 11. You'll leave your faith to go to their event on Sunday. Okay? They're going to have a bowling contest. They know you're a believer, and you in church on Sunday because they've seen you get dressed. They've heard you talk about going to church. But this you can only do this bowling at 10 a.m. on Sunday at here. So you tell your family, you say, okay, I tell you what, I'm going to go with you. And what did you just lose from them? See, disrespect is not going to tell you that you've just been disrespected. Follow me? It's waiting on you to figure it out. As much as I love to ride, I remember a time a few years ago when the dude said, hey, man, we got a special group that goes out such and such, 8 o'clock in the morning. At that time, I was going to Richmond Christian Center. And I like 8 o'clock service. I can see me going to Curl and say, sweetie, I know we've been going for 25 years, 8 o'clock service, but I'm going cycling this morning. She would let me go. She look at me. But that wouldn't be a pleasant ride for me, buddy, because I know I got to go where? Back home. Iron sharpens iron. That's another way you can tell. Are you sharpening each other or are you cutting each other? Sharpening means that I challenge you to go to a different place, a different level in growth. See, grace is in sharpening each other. Satan is in cutting each other.
I found out that I had a friend who texted me and said, well, let's get together. Mm-hmm. And it's always on Thursday night.
Okay, Thursday night.
Yeah, he's a divorcee, mm-hmm. and he knows that I go to church on Thursday night because he's been here. Mm-hmm. So the day I switched it up,
okay,
I said, I can't come, but you're more than welcome to come to church tonight. And didn't hear back from him.
That's grace. Follow me, Chris? That's grace. So all you have to do is ask yourself, God, are you in this? And you can find where the grace is, and you can find where the law is. Just ask him. See, the Holy Spirit is the teacher. He's the guide. He's the one in the earth today, and all we got to do is talk to him. We don't pray to him. We talk to him. Holy Spirit, are you in this? What's going on with this? This feels different. But then what the enemy is counting on us is for us to lay aside everything. Our need to be loved or approved is so strong that I'm willing to put anything to the side because after all, what? God's going to forgive me. Yeah. So I know God will forgive me, so I can go ahead and do it. But guys, the truth, the honesty of stuff is that when it says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, because we don't see instant death most of the time, we think we got by. But something on the inside of us is not at the same place that it used to be.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I have two people that I've known for years, and they were getting married on a Sunday morning.
Okay.
At 11 o'clock, and the groom said to me, well, Latrice, we know you go to church every Sunday unless you are, and he said, sick. And I said, no, I go every Sunday unless I'm getting over something.
There it is.
But after service, I could come to your reception.
Okay.
And the response was, well, you know, it's a Christian service. A minister is going to be performing it. And we really would like for you to be there. I said, well, I can make the reception.
Go. Okay.
But I'm going to church.
Okay, there you go.
And his response was, okay, well, that's okay. We're going to have a big party this summer for those who couldn't make it.
Okay.
I said, well, then I'll be there and I'll meet your family on that Saturday.
Amen.
But it was not really taken well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. So do they take you closer to Christ or farther from Christ? Y'all follow what I'm saying? I mean, I just for some reason I need to, you know, just. Why in the world would God create something called relationship and you not have fun in it? A lot of people don't want to come to Christ because they believe they can't have fun. But the God who knows us knows what we like, but he would create a relationship in such a way that you don't want to be in. Why would that be? So have we put God in such a box that God say I can't ride my bike because I like riding? The Ed can't play golf? That Latrice can't teach about makeup and her favorite items? But that's how we sell Christianity. Not going to have no fun. You can't go to the bar. You can go wherever you want to. But is he there? I know people don't want to get married because it's not supposed to be fun at the bedroom. But my Bible says, y'all Bible say? I mean, you know, y'all looking at scripture all the time. Y'all look at this one. Says the bed is undefiled. You want to jump, roll around, do certain special things? Jump, roll around, do special things. Amen? Can y'all read in between that line? The word says, unless you agree. Now, you want to get freaky? And wife said no? Then, you know, then is there agreement with that? Well, then the bed would be defiled if you went ahead and did it. I'm talking about relationships, guys. Y'all understand? See, my plan is I get the married people healed. They will mentor to the single people about what mistakes to avoid and what things to grab onto. Because guess what? Marriage didn't come with a manual. Relationships don't come with a manual. But we got the manual if we're talking about relationships. That's why it's not off limits. Follow me? Amen? Okay. You all right, Wayne? Yeah, yeah, okay. And please explain to him what freaky is. But, you know, put the, how old is it? Put the 60-year-old definition of freaky. But all right. Okay, amen? I answer your question. Chris, you with me? Yeah, okay. Chris, I lost you a while ago. Okay. You good? Bottom line is, are they taking you closer to Christ or further from him? Every decision is based off life or death. There's no in between. In relationships, every decision is based off life or death. Are they taking you towards life or towards death? Period. Y'all got it? I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting. Uh-oh. I'm going to send you the wrong person for your marriage. I'm going to send you the wrong person for your relationship. He said he won't put anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Y'all ever seen somebody wear something that don't fit? Desmond Apple, Daddy, wear some skinny jeans. So this is as skinny as I can go, Jay. This is as skinny as I can go. They not skinny enough for Jay. So they fit. Guy told me the other day, he said, man, I like your examples because you do real life stuff. I mean, she been after me. Anyway, ill-fitting on you. So now he's going to send you the best because he considers you the best. Follow me? So you're believing for something. You believe for a job. Guess what he's going to send you? Okay? A career. His best. Because you are what? You believe for a relationship. That's what he's going to send you. But you don't like what he sent you. And then it becomes ill-fitting. And then who you got to call on? It ain't Ghostbusters. Who you got to call on? Who you got to call on? Why did you put me in this relationship? Everything was fine until, yeah, that woman or that man you gave me. What does keep company with me mean? Do I just pop in and pop out? Or just hang around? One of the biggest things I learned from my wife is it's called the art of silence. I wasn't very good at that. I got too many questions. I want to know stuff, Sharon. Well, I want to know stuff. And who better to ask than somebody I spent all that time with? But she cool with it, though. I'm driving. I start asking questions. She do like Jazz used to do. She just look out the window. I know she don't like that tree, but she just look on out the window. And I say, okay, Holy Spirit. Keep company with me. So when you're in company with him, you can talk. You can be quiet. You can ask some questions. He don't look out the window. He just likes spending time with us. Follow me? Hang out with him.
This morning, the Lord told me, he gave me this example. And please, y'all, I'm not blaspheming. I'm not comparing the Lord to a cat, but this is an example.
Okay.
Have you ever had a pet that waits for you to wake up?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my cat will sit at the foot of the bed. She hear my alarm go off. She thinks I'm getting up, but I'm pressing snooze. And I feel her little feet around my legs, and she's waiting. I didn't press snooze, rolled over, went to sleep. The alarm goes off again. I hit snooze 3-4 more times. Then I finally get up. I sit up. She's looking straight at me at the foot of the bed. Then I get up, use the restroom. She's stroking my leg, rubbing all up on top of me. And I'm like, dang, Bella, can I wake up first? But that's what God is doing. He watches you while you sleep. Yes, he's waiting for you to talk to him.
Waiting for it. Y'all got it? That's a good example. She made it clear she wasn't blaspheming. Keep company with me. And see, if I say keep company with God, we have our own version of what we think that means, right? What do we think what it means? We got to be reading the word with him. He knows his word. You follow me? what are we thinking? What's your own version of keep company with me? Seriously.
I have a spot in my room, which is the most comfortable chair by the window.
Okay.
And I can be completely quiet and just, I feel the presence of God every time I sit in that chair. It's like our meeting place. I know that's our time together. And when I skip it, I feel like I'm cheating.
Okay.
But I feel like keep company, maybe because my love language is quality time. It's like, the best thing ever.
Okay.
You don't have to say anything. Okay. This morning I was like, Lord, I don't feel like reading the Bible. It's like, all right.
Didn't strike you or nothing?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's good. Yes, ma'am.
Mine was when I ride in the car by myself.
Okay.
Like just having a conversation and talking. To
okay. Him. Just a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Mine's knowing wherever I go, he's there with me.
Okay, knowing wherever you go, he's
there.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't have to be in a special place.
Okay.
And I can talk to him, and I find myself doing it even. I could be out somewhere, and I said, Lord, what do you think of that?
Okay.
And I'm saying it out loud, and I realize, you know, people all around me, but I don't care.
Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am. Man, I say, take that mic.
I think for me, it's like, you know, the flesh and the spirit do not go with each other.
Okay.
They're not friends, you know. So if you're going to be in the spirit or be connected to the Lord constantly, which is really kind of how we're supposed to do it, it's a keep it, you
okay.
know,
okay.
then you're making a decision to take the flesh and put it over here,
okay.
which means that every aspect of your life will be influenced by the spirit of God, which means you are giving up a lot.
Okay.
You're giving up the flesh.
Okay.
And it might be, I can't cuss this person out, even though my flesh is going to want to. Mm-hmm. I really want to watch this vampire show, but I know the Holy Spirit is not with it. You know, so it's for me, it's like, Lord, if we're doing it, we're doing it.
Okay.
There's no hopping in and out, or it never has been for me. Like
okay.
I told you, I blaze one way or the other.
Okay.
So in order to keep company with him, you're giving up your flesh, your
okay.
fleshy desires. It's
okay.
a constant choosing.
Okay. Appreciate the honesty. I mean, you guys ever ask the Holy Spirit how to have fun? Because what we think you're going to come back and say, read your word. I'm just serious. Y'all mind doing that? We're not even going to cut that light. That's how great this is. Y'all ready? Okay. Holy Spirit, show me how to have fun. Y'all raise your hand when he tell you something. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Now you can open your eyes. Anybody want to share? We don't need the mic. Just holler it out. What do you share? Uh-huh. Okay, yeah, okay. Oh, that's what you saw, okay, all right. And you asked who? Holy Spirit. All right, who else? Okay, I see a photo op right there, right? What else? Playing the piano, okay. What, is it okay to miss a note? Okay. Comedy show, okay, all right. Huh? Okay, laughing, okay. Who else? Yes, ma'am.
Trash talking.
Okay, trash talking, okay, all right. And he said nothing wrong with it.
Okay. I mean,
person I talk trash to, we kind of talk banter back and forth with each other.
Okay. Okay. Madeline? Okay. 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 All right. Movies with my friends? All right. Ed? On the golf course. Do you know Mitch play golf? Mitch. Teresa's co-worker. Yeah. Peep him out when you see him. Okay? All right. Who else? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. 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 Yeah? Okay. Look, she grinning. What did she talk about? Yeah. Oh, thank you. Okay. Chris? Okay. Y'all leave Chris alone. Chris having fun. He talked to the Holy Spirit about it. All right. Anybody else? Swimming? Okay. Okay. All right. Yes, sir. Oh, gotcha. Okay. You winning something there, right? So, guys, ask him. Invite him in the areas that we've never invited him before. Because he said, keep company with me. And you'll learn to live freely in what kind of way? I got a courage, right? When I'm processing stuff sometimes, all I want to do is build something. Just want to build something. It's like, you know, he was a carpenter, right? See, that was that's good. That was good right there. That was good. All right, I'm going to keep on going. All right. Oh, my key word. So now I know blind spots is more potent than forgiveness. I never thought I would see that, but it is. But let me tell you. But anyway, forgiveness is the key to overcoming justifiable resentment. Forgiveness. Imagine that word coming up again. So we just got to forgive. It just comes back to that. And guys, it's a bald-faced lie that we forgive, but I'm not going to forget. If you forgive, you're choosing to forget as you add boundaries to that relationship. But when I see you, and the first thing I think about is what I said I forgave, I did not forgive. Because I'm now judging you based off what you did to me. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Amen. Did he say this was going to be easy? But what did scripture say? How often should you forgive? 70 times 7. That's a whole lot of time. When Jesus was talking to the disciples about it, they say, help my what? Unbelief. Because he knew what he was asking us to do. Uh-oh, we got to go back to that forced, that unforced grace. In order to forgive, we got to go back to that unforced grace. Because that's the only way we can do it. Because naturally speaking, you hurt me, the natural feeling is I want to hurt you back, right? But when you can forgive somebody and when you see them coming, you don't go the other way, you really in forgiveness. And it takes a while sometimes. But let me share this with y'all guys. I got it. Officer Friday came to see us at Boaz and Ruth. We asked him to do a teaching on store safety and things of that nature. And he says that they are trained to respond to certain situations a certain way. If a person has their hand in the pocket and they say, take your hand out of your pocket, then their next thought is, if you don't take your hand out of your pocket, then by that time I got my gun, because if you pull your hand out after I've asked you to several times, my training says they are hiding something, and I'm not going home to my wife. You follow me? So their training takes over their instinct. You follow me? So when you've been trained to do something, you respond to it based off training, not based off the situation. Fair enough? So I was talking to the Holy Spirit, and I was like, people keep asking me. That it was a Thursday night, and just about everybody was laid out on the floor. What Thursday was that? Two Thursdays ago? And a young man came up to me after service. That was his first time. I know he was down. It was about cleaning your slate. And he comes up, and I lean over, and he says, "So you telling me that you really live like this? That you can live like this?" And I said, "Yes." So that's training. Forgiveness for me is training. That's the first place that I go to. So I don't have to think about it. I automatically just go there because that's my training. Guys, that's just me being honest. I'm hoping I don't offend nobody. But I would say anywhere from 90 to 95% of counseling is based off unforgiveness. And it lingered too long, and then it'll produce the fruit. You follow me? So I'm not telling you, don't come to counseling. I'm just saying a lot of it is based off unforgiveness that has gone on too long, and it's embedded. So we're talking about arrogant entitlement, blinded by selfishness. Y'all make sure y'all tell Doc I taught on that on Thursday night, all right? Have it your way. We used to that, right? You deserve a break today. Who did that one? McDonald's? So entitlement says, I get to have it my way. I don't care what it costs you. I deserve a break today. How can you tell the difference between entitlement? What does entitlement look like? Y'all ever been in line, patiently waiting? And somebody walk right past you and go, how many of y'all dealt with that before? Yes, sir. Okay, everybody. Get yours regardless of what it does to others. Everybody know that? I don't care how it impacts you. When we cheat, if you've ever cheated, then you expect the person that you cheated on to be okay with it. Because I'm going to go do what I'm going to do, and it's just up to you to like it, accept it, and what else. But you crush the relationship. And trust is, once you lose trust, it's hard to get that back. Because what are they filtering everything you say through? Distrust. Everyone must honor their boundaries. Y'all heard that? You better honor my boundaries, but when it comes time to me honoring yours, who cares? I don't care what you do. But you need to do this for me. We rationalize our behavior but condemn theirs. I don't know how long it takes. It took a while though, right, honey? Before Curly and I came out the clubs. But Spencer, I led you to Christ, man. You got to give up that club. Took us 5 years. Banana's still in it. But Banana, I'm messing with you. I ain't picked on you yet. In 3 weeks, I ain't picked on you. It was funny. I saw Crystal when I was picking on her. Crystal had that look on her face like, wow, he can really do that at church. But, I lead Spencer to Christ, and then I expect him to change all his ways. Now, I took 6, 12, 18 years to fix mine, but you better get it straight, man. But we condemn theirs. Humility. The key to overcoming arrogant entitlement. Humility. It looks for a win-win. So I'm not looking for you to respect me and I not respect you. It's a win-win. I'm respecting you and you're respecting me. In case you don't respect me, I still will respect you. Is it easy? That's why we need Jesus. Look for a win-win. How can I help them win? Doesn't clam over people. This is one of the most powerful things I think about Jesus in Scripture. Some of the most powerful things is how he dealt with children. I mean, the disciples telling, "Hey, look, you Jesus. I mean." You responsible for all these things. The children come wanting to hang out and play, and they tell him, hey, tell them to get on out of the way. And he said, such is the kingdom of God. So he wanted the children to be first. Not pushed aside, but to be first. So because they're little, we're just supposed to clam over them. Disregard them. Freak them out and ask them, where you want to eat? Just do this once a month, though, guys. Just once a month. Don't do it because y'all follow me? Because we always pick where we want to eat. Freak them out and ask them, hey, now where you want to eat today? Make sure you put there in there about the cost. That's what we would have to do with Jazz. Yeah, you got to drink water. Doggone right. Water good for you. Put some lemon in that water. That's that. Let's say $2.50. Humility includes the needs of others. One part of the success and curlers in our marriage is we wake up determining how can we outbless the other. And that's a lifestyle. That's a training. That doesn't have to be spoken. We just automatically know. Can y'all read this one together with me? Appreciate others for who they are, not for what they can do for you. Y'all know how powerful that is? That's why people have a challenge when you want to bless them and they don't want to take the blessing because they think that there's going to be something attached to it later on. So they just say, nah, that's okay. So these are the parts of us that God can use. What I'm sharing tonight. Humility, he can use that. Everybody got that one? Doctor, can you read for me?
7, the message. So be content with who you are and don't put on airs. God's strong hand is on you. He'll promote you at the right time.
What time?
Right time.
Do y'all know when that is?
No.
Go ahead.
Live carefree before God. He is most careful with you.
Live what kind of way? Doesn't mean we don't have responsibility, but do we have to be ugly about it? Can we play some music when we balance in the checkbook? Can we? Can we do it? Okay. But like I said, just ask him. I would ask him, Father, I don't feel like cutting this grass. How can I have fun doing it? He said, okay, I know y'all heard it before, but are you doing it? He just said, buy music and only play it when you get ready to cut grass. And then you enjoy it so much that you actually do the weed eater too. Then you come out and do the blower. You do it all right because you want to make sure you finish this app or this Word CD or MP3. I got it? Be content with who you are. Live carefree before God. All right, y'all. I'm going to do this one. That gives us only 2 on Sunday, and then we're going to, y'all going to get free on Sunday. Marcia, just don't come with the attitude. On Sunday. All right, you ready? Make sure you and God get it straight. Okay, all right. Disconnected, isolation, blinded by detachment. Y'all write this down. I said it before, but I'm going to say it again. You were hurt by relationships, and you'll be healed by relationships. Yeah. That's 4. So I jumped around for where I knew I wanted to go tonight, so it's not in order. Yeah, it's not in order. Okay. Thank you, honey. So Sunday will be 3 and 5. Y'all got what I'm saying? Remember I gave you a testimony of a person that was in counseling that their dad swam to work? Okay. She got hurt by water, and God healed her by water. So you'll be hurt by relationships, but God is going to heal you through relationships. But if you detach yourself and not be involved in relationships, your healing is in relationships. Life alone is easier, but it's emptier. Why y'all think it's emptier? It's easier because the only person you got to deal with is you. But remember, that's what they do with people when they want them to suffer in prison. They put them in isolation. What we're going to do with the scripture, it says, Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. So one man sharpens and influences another with discussion. Follow me? We remain unaware of areas where we need to grow. Can y'all say hallelujah? If I'm by myself, I consider everything I do right. You get with somebody else, and you start bouncing it off them, and they say, well, But as long as I'm isolated, you out there playing basketball by yourself, and you make every hoop. You can get as close as you want. You can get up on the ladder, and you can make it happen. Any of y'all remember Bruce Lee? Yeah, I was a Bruce Lee fan, kicking it and screaming all the time. And I just remember Enter the Dragon, and this guy steps in front of him and hits this board. And he looks at him, he said, boards don't hit back. And he said, Bruce kicked his butt really good. Okay? So when you by yourself, man, you think you the greatest. That's why most athletes have to go through counseling. When they step into the arena where there are other people just as good or better than they are. Because you can start to go down with that. But when you start hanging around some people that are good for you, say good for you, then you become aware of certain areas that you call blind spots. I'm looking at the clock, not looking at nobody. Duck face, duck soul. I'm looking at, there you go. Guys, I was amazed to find this out. Our mental development is hindered when we're not around people. All those children that they are no longer with their parents based off this border wall and all this kind of stuff, their brains are not developing because it's interaction that's caused you to grow. And that's not just the border wall. That's any time where we isolate ourselves. We are the only person. We are the only people that we're talking to. So who are you getting feedback from? There's growth in conflict. Me and Curly disagree on something. Over time, we're processing the conflict, and we got closer because we overcame the conflict. But if you have a discussion and the conflict is not resolved, then conflict is not working for you. It's going to bring you further away. We were talking about something last night. I snapped a little bit. And so Jazz was over at the house, and you know, I'm processing stuff. Curly looking at me, I'm looking at her. And I said, sweetie, would you forgive me? Because that was wrong, that was inappropriate. I said, I said it in front of Jazz, and I wanted to make sure I asked for forgiveness in front of Jazz. Don't be sneaking around with your apologies. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. What I'm talking about then? Tell me what I'm talking about. I'm not going to assume stuff no more.
I had a coworker snap on me in front of a group of people.
Okay, all right.
And when I confronted him about it, he came to my office where it was just me and him and apologized. Okay. But all of them that saw you snap at me didn't see that.
Yeah.
So I'm not feeling your apology really hard because now they're going around thinking that that's okay. Yeah. And it's not.
Yeah. So I give y'all permission tonight that somebody snap at you in a group and they come to apologize. You say, nope, let's go back to the group. You know what it'll do, right? They'll think twice about snapping on you. You follow me? Dad, you're going to take me back to the original setting. It's easier than you think, man. Got a mic?
I remember one time that I loaned out. It was your projector, and it was at work. And then the person didn't bring it back in time. And I felt really uncomfortable about it, but I knew it messed up the class.
Okay.
So I had to go in and apologize to you publicly.
Mm-hmm.
In the faces of the people, when I came in, they were like, what?
Yeah.
You were graceful enough to accept it, but it's embarrassing
yeah.
to go back and do that. I'm like, you're never loaning that out again.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. I mean, the whole class, they were looking. Well, she owned this place. Did she apologize? It does something in here, guys, when we do it. You know, I could dance around after I did it with Curly. Hey, sweet, we cool. Because it separates you, guys. Y'all know that, though, right? Strife separates you. And then we spend our time trying to justify how we got separated. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You thinking about it yet? No, you're not? Okay. Disconnection is an assessment that people will hurt me. So at the core of why we separate, we isolate ourselves, is that someone hurt you. If they didn't do it today, they did it. And so therefore, your job, your mindset says, if I stay away from people, I won't have to be hurt by people. Sometimes people just say special things because they special. Other times, people say things because they mean. Y'all know mean people, don't you? So if I got a choice between sitting with a mean person and a person that's cool, you pick. They're not worth the trouble. So we separate ourselves because we say people are not worth the trouble. But how many of us wouldn't be where we are unless somebody thought we were worth the trouble? Your job is to plant or to water. You don't have to wait around to see how it grows. Plant or water. Tell them something. Like I planted with Crystal, but Faith watered. And we all see the increase. We isolate because we say the world is unsafe. The same way we use thinking errors to get us in trouble is the same way we can use positive thoughts to get us out of trouble. It's always going to come back to our thought life. Always. Thoughts will produce enough action that we'll start to live out of it. I've shared with several people before, no need coming to counseling, because I tell you what, I'm going to give you the same answer. It's not what happens to you, it's how you process it. Well, if they would just change, yeah, but you've been waiting on that for 15 years. How are we looking? Follow me? So you know people are going to do what they do, right? I mean, are we really shocked by the people that we know and the things they've done, they are doing now? Were they doing some of those things when we met them? Are we doing some of the things that we do when we met them? Are we? Intimacy, the key to overcoming disconnection, disconnected isolation. Intimacy. When you're close to somebody, don't you talk to them? John chapter 1. Do I need to go back? Yeah. Okay. All right. To this one or the one before that? Y'all help me. So negative thoughts got us in trouble. Did I say something similar to that? Okay. So positive thoughts will get you out of trouble. Say again. All right, give them a mic, people. Say it one more time. Y'all stand up for a second, just stretch it out. I'm gonna finish this lesson.
just what Pastor said, negative thoughts will get you into trouble, but positive thoughts will get you out of trouble.
Okay. All right. Y'all have a seat. You got a question, Sharon?
No,
okay.
Okay.
Okay. Ooh.
You said that.
perfect example, conflict.
Thoughts will produce enough action that we'll begin to live. Our thoughts will produce enough action that we'll begin to live out of them.
Okay, say it one more time.
That our thoughts will produce enough action that we'll begin to live out of them.
Live out of them. So what's intimacy?
Being naked and not embarrassed.
Being naked and not embarrassed. Amen. Thank you. Anybody want to add to that?
Being vulnerable.
Okay, being vulnerable. And what does that mean?
Allowing people to see the parts of you no one else usually will see.
Okay, all right. 1 John 2:10-11 in the Message. Anyone who claims to live in God's light and hates a brother or sister is still in who? Are we living in the dark? Because he says when we're born again, we become a child of light. But if you hate your brother and sister, you're still in darkness. That's a blind spot. It's the person who loves brother and sister who dwells in God's light and doesn't block the light from others. It's another scripture that talks about don't become a stumbling stone to people. Y'all know what that means? What do you mean?
So if you are comfortable, well, all things are, you are, we are allowed to do a lot of different mm-hmm. things, but it may not be the best.
Okay.
So, I may be able to drink a glass of wine, but if somebody was an alcoholic, drinking a glass of wine in front of them may cause them to relapse.
Okay.
So I'm knowing that about them, I'm not going to drink a glass of wine.
Okay.
In all front right. of them.
Okay. That's stumbling, causing them to stumble. Well, she did it. But whoever hates is still in the dark, stumbles around in the dark, doesn't know which end is up, blinded by the darkness. Or blind spot. And he doesn't always mean hate. When you speak against your brother in a derogatory way and cause others to grab onto that same hate or disrespect. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Guys, write this one down. If you get this, then you'll start to like people. Willingness to accept uncertainties. That's why a lot of people don't like dealing with people, is because this right here, this podium is certain. It stays the same shape. If we move it to the back, we move it back to the same place. It's certain. But then look at your pastor. He's one uncertain individual. You don't know whether I'm going to move to the right, move to the left, whether I'm going to say this, whether I'm going to call on that, whether I'm going to do such and such. I am uncertain. So we take what's certain and we try to shape it into something that's uncertain. And then we expect our relationships to work. Amen?
Can you give
yeah.
another example?
That screen. Screen goes up. Screen comes down. That's certain. But I'm not. I'm movable. I'm pliable. You can call me today and I might not answer the phone. You can call me 10 minutes from now and I might answer the phone. You didn't know what I was doing before. So you can't say that I'm not movable. Because I am. Today, you know, I never thought today. Now, y'all don't hold me to this because this will be different next month. I never thought I'd see the day that I would need Zaxby's every week. But when I got so many gift cards from Zaxby's, man, I'm tired of Zaxby's. If you asked me a month ago to go to Zaxby's, to go out to eat, first thing I'm going to say, let's go to Zaxby's. You asked me tonight, we're going somewhere else. So that screen goes up and down. That's consistent. But I am not consistent in certain areas. I'm uncertain.
Okay, so with relationships, I'd say like I've got to start to get to know people, be out more. So the people I meet, they may have a bad day or they mm-hmm. might be. So there's no prediction. That you can't predict how people will be. So you put yourself out there around unpredictable people because I'm unpredictable
exactly.
too.
As long as you can see that, Curl is different than me. I'm different than her. We like certain things. She likes certain things and so forth. But I want Curly to think like me. But then when I don't get that, then I turn around and say relationships don't work. She wasn't made like me. I wasn't made like her. It's real stuff, guys. We want people to be easy for us. That's what I'm trying to say. Y'all got it? Be easy for us. Be the same as you was yesterday. Sit in the same place. I remember times, you know, when I was special. I mean, I'm just telling on myself. Is it okay? Okay. All right, then. I'm going to tell. So I had to go to movies. I'm OCD in the category of I got to sit in the center of the theater. Center right here. There's 20 seats right here. 20 seats that way. This is the center right here. That's right, right here. Got to be there. That's it. I'm an art student. So, you know, I'm used to thinking like this. Right here. I'm enjoying the move. Now, if I got to sit right here, I'm not enjoying the move. That's it. How close am I to the center? One seat over. So as I grow, I recognize this is a problem. This is not right. Jesus, would you heal me of having to sit in the center? So he goes real deep on me. I'm thinking he's going to move me over a little bit. He moves me all the way to the corner right over here. Now I'm sitting at the very end. Now, was that adjustment? But I got healed sitting on the corner. You follow me? So see, I know I was jacked up, but I would ask for help. Jesus, help me. And I know Curly was special with how she dealt with. Honey, we just walk in the theater. She said, where you want to sit? She know where I'm going to sit, right here. You follow me? And I got healed. So now I can be off-center and I'm okay. Go ahead.
Did it take for that to happen?
Once I recognized it, then it only took a month, but it took years for me to recognize that this is how I was.
Okay.
Yeah, Wayne, he wasn't too excited about it. Wayne had a different issue. He had to have popcorn and a big soda. That was his thing. Just have popcorn and a big soda. I could go to the movie with just the popcorn. Wayne had to have popcorn and the soda. He carried it a certain way. Yes, sir. So we all got stuff. You follow me, guys? But the same way I asked Jesus to heal me, y'all can ask him to heal you too. I'm serious. Why would you look at me like that for? So like I shared with you guys, things I'm talking about is not stuff that I heard about, things I went through. I mean, I'm seriously an OCD type of dude, man. I had to put certain things right here. This couldn't have been up here like this. It's crooked. Nicole is crooked. There's space right here, so let's put, I have a line right here. So let's put this right here where that line is. It's cool. Now it's like, go home, take your clothes off. Cool. It's okay, guys. Ask Jesus to heal. If he healed me, he can heal anybody. Amen.
This concludes today's message on Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you, with Pastor Paul Morgan. If you are ever in the Richmond, Virginia area, join Pastor Paul for Sunday service at 10 a.m. at Chosen Generation Ministries. The website is www.chosenrva.com or call at 866-333-9505.